acting upon the word, that's all up to us. But the thing that's not up to us is the outcome. That's up to God. We can believe the word, we can speak the word, we can act upon the word, but He's the doer. He's the one that we don't even have to ask, how are you going to do it, God? Don't worry about how He's going to do it. They got my sermon title up here. Don't worry, you don't need to know how. I got you, God. You don't need to know how. You've had some sort of physical manifestation. You had a healing in your body. You don't need to know how He did it. You're just glad that He did do it. You're just glad that you feel better. I'm glad that I'm not up here dizzy all over the place because I haven't eaten anything yet this morning and passing out. I don't have to worry about it. He sustains me, and I don't need to know how. I don't need to know why. I don't need to know anything. I just need to know that His Word says this. I believe what His Word says, and that just settles everything. I don't need to know how. I never dream of the places that I work. A lot of you know that I retired from the Department of Corrections here in Illinois. And the whole time that I worked there, I never dreamed about any aspects of the job. I had a dream last night about the prison. And I went to a prison, and I believe it was actually Lawrenceville was the prison. And I go in there, and of course, when you're transporting inmates, you've got a weapon. And so I had a gun on, and I'm going in there, and I'm going to deposit my gun and the ammunition into the box there, into the lockbox. And there were all kinds of inmates around as I got this gun out. And I'm thinking, boy, what's security like at this place here? You know, and so I ran into a little bit of an issue with some of the officers there, and they said, well, we're going to talk to the assistant warden about you. And I said, well, who's the assistant warden? And they told me the name. And I thought, oh, well, I worked with him for a number of years, and I was actually the door officer on his building, and he went through a personal crisis, and this is a true story. He went through a personal crisis. I'm an officer. He's an assistant warden, and I'm the one who reached out to him. He didn't know what God, and he's a believer, he didn't know how God was going to bring him through this personal crisis. He didn't ask how God was going to bring him through this personal crisis, but God took me and placed me in the situation, into his life, to be able to speak some words into his life. And he said, you're the only one out of all these guys who profess to be my friends and who profess to be on my side. You're the only one who reached out to me, and I needed what you had to say. I don't question how with God. If He wants to use me as part of the how, then He's going to use me as part of the how, and my middle name will be How. How? He'll use me however He wants to. When I needed this word this morning, I told you I got this text message this morning. I'm sitting there and I'm not down and depressed. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not in there boo-hooing or anything. I wasn't depressed. I'm just thinking, I just need a little bit of something this morning. And that text message came right on time. I didn't ask God how He was going to do it, but I knew that He would. If I ask Him for something, He says to ask for something. What do they say? You have not because you ask not? He says you ask for something, and He says, I'm going to give it to you. I don't care how. Came by way of technology today. Said, I'm praying for it. I don't have my phone here. I'd read the text to you. I learned not to bring my phone to the pulpit. I had my phone in the pulpit, not here, in the pulpit one time, and I didn't turn the ringer off, and it rang. And I actually had it on the pulpit, and I picked it up and looked at it. The person who was calling me was sitting right there. Really? Okay. Now, I didn't answer it. Just real quick. I sang in a band. It was called Too Much Fun. And so we're doing a concert in Springfield. And I was known as kind of the practical joker of the group. And my preacher at the time, he got out and he was giving some little word to the audience, you know. And I'm back here with the drummer, back here at the back. I said, watch this. I got my phone out. I called him. And he answered. He answered the phone. I said, how you doing? Why are you calling me? Anyway. So I don't have my phone in the pulpit, so nobody can call me. But I don't need to know how. He didn't need to know how. When I looked at the word how, it says, in what manner or way, for what reason, by what name or title, at what price. I don't need to know all that. Jesus paid the price. He paid the price on the cross for all the hows. And because he did that, I don't need to know. I just know that he did it. He said, by my stripes you're healed. Okay, I don't need to know how he's going to heal me. He said, I'm healed. That's all I need to know. He says, by me going to the cross, sacrificing my life to bring you all back into fellowship with God, because Adam, he was the dude that said, you know, listen to the serpent. Actually, there's something a lot going on there. Sold us out, got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. All the troubles you experience in life, blame that on Adam and Eve. Anyway, I was going to say something else, but I won't say that. But anyway, so what he did on the cross, it paid for all that stuff. And we don't need to know how he's going to do it. We just need to know that he did it. And when we ask him for whatever it is that the Bible says that belongs to us, we don't need to ask him how he's going to do it. You need a new car? Ask him for a new car. And don't worry about how he's going to do it. You need healing in your body? Ask him for the healing. Because he said, by his stripes you're healed. If you need healing in your body, ask him for it. And don't worry about how he's going to do it. He said he would do it, so he's going to do it. We don't need to try to figure it out. You plant the seed of the word, and he'll make it grow. You speak to the mountain, and he'll remove it. And you don't need to know how. We like to figure things out. We like to know. Anybody here like to know how things are going to work out? I got one raise your hand real quick over here. She's got to know the how. I'm kind of like that too. I want to know the how, but I'm training myself not to be worried, not to be concerned about the how. In Mark chapter 4, looking at verse 26. Now I'm here to tell you this morning by the Spirit of God. Everything you've been praying for, everything that you will pray for will come to pass if you let God be in charge of the how, of the outcome, without question. Don't question him. Don't be concerned about it. The things that you're praying for, the things that you will pray for, if you let him be in charge of the how, they'll come to pass. You get your fingers in there and you start meddling a little bit. The how might eventually come to pass, but man, it won't be as good as if you had let him take care of it to begin with. In Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 26, it says, Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Well, why do farmers scatter seed on the ground? They expect it to do something, to grow and have a harvest, right? They scatter the seed. So we as believers, as we scatter the seed of the word, we speak what the word of God says to our situations. We speak to our Goliath. When David ran toward Goliath, he didn't have his mouth shut when he ran at his giant. He said, you defied the king, the God of all of Israel. You come at me with a spear and a sword. I come at you within the name of the Lord God Almighty. And he took that little stone in a little bitty sling. He slung it, hit that giant right in the head, knocked him out, went and cut his head off. They chased everybody else, killing everybody. God doesn't just take care of a little bit of your problem. He takes care of all your problems and things that might try to come against you afterwards. And I'm not going to be worried or concerned about how he does it. He said he's going to do it. Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he sleeps or he's awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he does not understand how it happens. He plants the seed. He may not understand how it's growing, but he don't care. English majors, he don't care. He doesn't care. He expects it to grow. When we speak the word of God into our situation, what is it? What challenges are you going through in life right now? Do you have challenges going on in your life right now? I'd say there's a few people who got some challenges going on. I got some challenges going on. And what am I going to do to those challenges? I'm going to speak to them. Mark 11, 23. If you want something to speak, write down Mark 11, 23 verse 24. Start there. Let that be the words that comes out of your mouth. But this farmer, he doesn't care how the seed sprouts. He doesn't care how it grows. He's just glad that it does. He's not concerned about the how. You figure here in Illinois, Iowa, we're kind of in corn country. A good yield on corn is about 200 bushels an acre. That's considered a pretty great year. They plant the seed. Now, there was a private study that was done, and they did this in a controlled environment where they grew some corn, and they grew 490 bushels an acre. From 200 to 490, that's a considerable jump, right? You know what? They weren't concerned how it would happen. They did what they knew to do. They planted the seed. They might have genetically modified, blah, 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 all the different stuff. They might have done some stuff like that. But when they planted the seed, they didn't know exactly what it would do. They were just thinking, okay, we plant this seed and let it grow. They didn't know how it was going to grow. They didn't know how much it was going to yield. They planted. That's how we're to be with the Word of God, people, congregants. With the Word of God, we plant the seed of the Word. I'm probably being very elementary, very basic with a lot of people in this room right now, but you know what? We better come back to the basics from time to time. Don't get so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good. We have to have the, ooh, all that stuff going on all the time. If you don't have the Word, if you don't have the foundational things of the Word, then you're a mess. Okay, we won't go down that road. But I don't have to know. I don't have to know the how. Now, in the how, it may require you to do a few crazy things. He may speak to you to do some crazy stuff. And we've talked about it here before. Everybody needs at least four crazy friends. And I see more than four crazy people in this room right now, in a good way. But he may ask you to do some crazy things. There was this lady I was looking at it online here. Her name was Laura Love. I had a classmate when I was in Bible college. His name was Steve Love. But her name was Laura Love. And God asked her to do some crazy stuff. She didn't ask him how. She didn't ask him why. Any of those things. That's just it. When God tells you something, when you're now, I didn't hear an audible voice. How do I know if it's God? Well, if it's good, if it seems good, and it helps people, it comforts people, it exhorts people, then chances are, I'm going to take a chance that it's God. What's the worst that can happen if it's something good? But here she was. She was 50 years old, said she was on the budget of all budgets. Anybody still on a budget? All right, we got some budget people in it. We're on a budget. We've been on a budget for 41 years. We still live on a budget. But 50 years old, on the budget of all budgets, had a car that had over 240,000 miles on it. It's quite a few miles on any car. She was on purpose. She was single. She hated cold weather. She said, hated cold weather like there's no tomorrow. But she had a strong desire to live a quiet life. She wanted to have a peaceful lifestyle. She wanted to be surrounded by loved ones, have everybody close by. Anybody like to have all your family living close to you? All my family are at least 2 hours away, and I love it. No, I like to have family around me too. Spent the day with my grandson and whatever. I'd never been to the state fair. Went yesterday and spent it with my grandson. Anyway, but wanted to live close, have all her family living close by. Yet the Lord told her to pack her bags. Load them up into her tiny little car. She had a big old crew of handicapped elderly dogs that she loaded up into this car with her. And he told her, drive to New York City and start doing street ministry. How many people are going to do that? Anybody in this room is going to pack up all their elderly handicapped dogs and move to New York City and do street ministry? 50 years old, you're a single woman. That's what she believed God was telling her. She didn't ask him, well, how's all this going to happen? How am I going to be? How am I? Why? How? Why? She didn't ask any of those questions there. She packed up all of her stuff. She put it in her car, and she got on the street corners of New York City and started doing the work of an evangelist. Didn't ask how. Now, in the article, it didn't tell the outcome of everything that she did, but she was obedient to do what God had told her to do. Now, I'm not saying that everybody in this room needs to go to the four corners of the earth and do all kinds of stuff like this, but if God, not some person, not some human influence tells you, but if God speaks to you to go and do, then you go. Because if you're not, oh man, I could go nine different directions in nine different sermons right now. If you're not in your there, the place where you're supposed to be, if you go someplace that you're not supposed to be, then the provision God has for you, the perfect provision that He has for you, it won't be there. It's not that He won't take care of you, but what He had planned for your life, if it's supposed to be over here, this is where your perfect provision is supposed to be. You don't ask Him how, you don't ask Him why, you don't ask Him anything. If He said stay here, then you stay right where you're at. Whew, okay. I'm not going to go down that road this morning. But many of you know, I've shared here before, I was diagnosed by a physician with Meniere's disease. And Meniere's disease, there's only one cure for it. They clip a nerve in your ear, and when they do that, you're not extremely dizzy anymore. I was so dizzy, I had to crawl on the floor in order to get anywhere. And without being too graphic, if something could come out of an orifice, it was coming out of that because my head was spinning so fast. Anyway, it was messy. But there's no cure. They clip that nerve in your ear, and that takes care of it, but then you lose your hearing for the rest of your life. You have no hearing. Well, I don't want to lose my hearing. I like to hear my grandkids. I like to hear myself talk mostly, but I want to hear other people and see what they have to say. And so I went before God and I said, God, I talked to God like this. God, You said. I put Him in remembrance of His word. You said this, not me, not anybody else. You said that by the stripes of Jesus that I'm healed. God, in Your word, You have many examples where people came to You and You healed every single one of them. And I know that You're no respecter of persons, so I'm reminding You of what You said. And so I'm coming to You right now. This thing that I've been diagnosed with, I said, by the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed. And I left it at that. Told Him what I wanted. And I left the rest of it up to Him. I didn't know how He was going to do it. I didn't know when He was going to do it, but I knew that He was going to do it. So I'm standing at the bathroom sink one morning. Carrie and I have our own bathrooms, and I love it. But I'm standing at the bathroom sink one morning, had my hands on the counter, and I said, God, You remember, I reminded You of Your word. And all of a sudden, and suddenly, I love the suddenlies in the Bible, and suddenly, from here to here, I felt a warm swoosh go through my neck here, and I felt it come out this side over here. Literally felt it. That was back in 2015, I think. 10 years ago. I've never had a bout with Meniere's disease since then. I didn't ask Him how He was going to do it. I didn't ask Him when He was going to do it. I just knew that if I stood on His word, if I planted the seed of the word, that I knew that He had to, God, You have to honor Your word. You have to. And not that I need to be mean with Him like that. He will honor His word. He honored it that day. I didn't care how He was going to do it. I just wanted it done. And He came through. He did it. In Mark chapter 5, I don't think I gave the guys this scripture here, but that's where they talk about the woman with the issue of blood. Had this issue of blood thing going on for 12 years, hadn't gotten any better, but got worse, spent everything that she had, kept getting worse. But she heard that Jesus was hanging around someplace. He's walking through the city there. And she said, you know, if I could just get to Him and touch His clothes, I'll be made whole. Now, touching His clothes, how is that going to make you whole? I don't know. She just knew that she came in contact with Him somehow. Goes there, snatches onto the backside of His clothes, pulls His robe down like that, and it says immediately she felt in her body. Immediately she felt that flow had stopped. Immediately she knew that she was healed. She didn't know how he was going to do it. She just knew that she needed to get in the presence of Jesus. And you know what? When we got the Word of God on the inside of our mind, man, if you don't have the Word on the inside of you, you need to get it there. Speak that Word forth. Jesus, you said by the stripes of God, you said by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Man, speak them words out. Just like she spoke, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. It says, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And then Jesus said in Mark chapter 5, verse 34, after he's turned around, who touched me? He knew who touched her, touched him. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Where he's saying, daughter, your faith is what healed you. See, Jesus said, yeah. He's saying, go in peace and be whole of this plague. Be whole of this thing that's been bothering you for 12 years. Be whole of this thing that you spent all your money on. Be whole of this thing that these doctors have done all kinds of crazy stuff to you over these years. Be whole of that. And she was. She wasn't concerned about the how. She knew that Jesus could. And however he was going to do it, she didn't care. Man, what do you got going on in your life right now? What are some challenges in your life right now? Write it. Oh, that was good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Write it down. Whatever it is, whatever the challenges are in your life right now, write them down. I made a list this last week of some stuff. I got two columns over here. The things that I need and the things that I want. And I said, here they are, God. I don't know how you're going to do it. Because the things that I felt that I need, it's about $250,000 worth of stuff. I totaled it up. It's about $250,000 worth. How in the world am I going to get $250,000? But you know what? All those needs has to do with this church right here. Nothing personal. This is the needs of this church right here. $250,000. How's he going to do it? I don't know. And you know what? I don't care. Somebody's going to walk up and give me $250,000, do the old Pentecostal handshake, and when I pull my hand back, there's a check for $250,000. I'll take it. And you know what? This might cause a few of your heads to tilt a little bit. I don't care where the money came from. Because when it comes into my hands, it's clean. Now, if they were doing something illegal to get that money, I pray that the Holy Spirit moves on them right now, convicts them, causes them to repent, turn around, go a different direction. Now, I do believe that. But I believe that there's some things here that God wants done. Now, my wants, the price wasn't nearly that high. I mean, I think they might have been about $15,000, that's all. But I don't care how he does it. I'm not going to try to figure out how he's going to do it. Come on, people, quit trying to figure out how God's got to do things in your life. Just ask him and then expect him to do it. Get some word to stand on. They had, some of you know who Brother Hagin is. He asked a person one time, they came up for prayer, and he asked the person, well, what scripture are you standing on right now with regards to the thing that you're asking him for? And they say, well, none in particular. And he told them, well, then that's what you'll receive, is nothing in particular. You got to have word. You got to have word. In Mark 11, starting with verse 22, this is where it comes down to. Don't worry about the how. Don't worry about the how. Don't be concerned about the how. So Jesus here is saying in Mark 11, 22, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God, period. You don't need to add anything else to that. Have faith in God. If he said it in his word, then you have faith that he'll honor his word. You don't need to add to that. Well, I'll have faith in God, but how is he going to? No. Stop with have faith in God. Well, Jesus had just talked about the fig tree, how he just cursed the fig tree. They went and did some stuff for a few days. They were hanging out, doing whatever they're doing. Then they come back and they walk past that fig tree again that Jesus had just cursed, and that fig tree was dried up from the roots. Peter, of course, Peter giving the obvious, hey, Jesus, that tree that you cursed, it dried up from the roots. It's dead. And Jesus turns around and says, have faith in God. You have faith in God, you can do the same exact thing. You speak to whatever it is that you need to speak to, and if you have faith in God, then just like Jesus spoke to that fig tree and it dried up and shriveled when they on their way back, whatever it is that you're speaking to, if it's something that needs to dry up and shrivel, then it's going to dry up and shrivel. If there's people that are attacking you, there's situations that are coming against you, and you speak to them just like Jesus did to the fig tree, when you come back into their presence again, they have to dry up and shrivel. They have to be gone. They have to be dead. They have to be out. But if you're speaking that you need a place to live, you need more money in your bank account, you need a car to drive, material things, if you're needing material things, speak to it. And when you speak to something, then it will materialize into whatever you need. And you don't need to ask how it's going to happen. Maybe I'm causing some heads to tilt here this morning. Maybe you're sitting there like this right now. I don't know. But to me, it's have faith in God. Don't be concerned about how he's going to do it. Just let him be God. Let him do it. Too many times we get concerned about stuff and we mess stuff up. Huh. Too many cooks in the kitchen. You got somebody that's got a recipe. You got somebody else. Oh, I like it when it has this in it. So they throw that in it. First cook didn't see him do that. And then somebody else, oh, I like this in it too. All of a sudden they're throwing jalapenos and habaneros and they're throwing all that stuff in it. Now, somebody may like that. My wife loves habaneros. She'll soften the fresh ones in a microwave and the exhaust from the microwave. My eyes are watering. I'm sneezing. I just gotten maced sitting there in my living room. And she's over there, ooh, this is so good. No, it's not. Pepper is hot to me. But anyway, going down to verse 23 in Mark 11, 22. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, whoever says to this problem, whoever says to this circumstance, whoever says to this lack that's going on in your life, whoever says to this relationship that's happening that's going on in your life, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Is that pretty simple? You speak to something, and you'll have whatever you say. It's simple. We try to overcomplicate things. We try to be philosophical. We try to be homiletical. We try to be hermeneutical. We try to be all the ooticles. If you want to ask me what all those are actual words, just so you know, I can tell you later on. But we try to be so intellectual about the things of God. Stop it! Most of the people Jesus hung out with were uneducated anyway. Although we have smart people in this room. We have people with minds of God in this place here. But he said, speak. He didn't say, well, I'll speak to it, but how are you going to do it? He didn't say anything like that. Man, somebody should be shouting right now. Come on, man. Hallelujah! Yeah, well, I'll do it myself. There we go. I don't have to concern myself with how Jesus is going to do stuff. Woo! One hand clap with me. Come on. There we go. All right. Yeah. Okay. I don't have to be concerned with any of that stuff. I just get to ask him. I get to speak to stuff. And just like that tree shriveled up, whatever is going on in my life, it has to either shrivel up or flourish. Whatever I do, whatever I speak. And it's not up to me to make it happen. It's up to him to make it happen. He just said, speak. Speak. In Ephesians chapter 6, 13. Verse 13. Well, what if it doesn't happen right away? What if I don't get the suddenlies? What if it doesn't happen manifest as soon as I speak it? What? Quit trying to figure it out. But he says here in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, whatever it is that you're believing God for, he's saying, next verse, stand therefore. Keep on standing. Don't quit. Keep on standing. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, keep on standing with the truth of the Word of God in your heart coming out of your mouth. And don't be concerned about when it's going to happen. Don't be concerned about where it's going to happen, why it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. Don't be concerned about any of those things, because it will happen. When you stick with the truth of the word, when you stick with the fact that Jesus said it, that's it, that settles it, then it's going to happen. How simple is that? Let's don't overcomplicate it. I was in a boating accident a few years back, and I spoke to the mountain of drowning. I won't go into the whole story. It's a long story. God was big in this situation, but I'm swimming to the shore, and I literally, three words, "Help me, Jesus." That's all I said in that moment. And as soon as, I didn't know how he was going to do it. Matter of fact, when I'm in there and the waves are crashing over me and I think I'm going down for the last time. That's a song. Anyway, I'm going down for the last time. That's what I'm thinking. My boots are already off my feet and laying at the bottom of Clinton Lake. They're probably still there. Maybe a home for one of the crawdads or something. But anyway, thinking I'm going down for the last time. I'm not concerning myself in that moment of how he's going to save me. I knew he would, because I called on a name that's greater than any other name. And he said, when I call on that name, he hears me and he answers. Well, all of a sudden, when I called on that name, here comes a boat around the corner. And instead of going to my friends who are in a boat way over here, he comes over to where I am. The guy reaches out, grabs me, pulls me up out of the water, puts me in the boat, and I could breathe again. Saved. And just like the woman with the issue of blood, how he said, "Be whole of your plague." I believe that she got all of her money back. She was healed of the disease. She was whole in every way. When I got back to the boat, because the boat was upside down now, it capsized, they flipped the boat back over. I had put my wallet, my keys, my fishing gear, everything was, when I was in the boat, it was laying on the floor of the boat. When they flipped that boat back over, laying on the floor of the boat was my fishing gear, my wallet, and my keys still sitting on the floor of the boat. Everything that I needed to get home was still sitting on the floor of that boat. All of my friend's stuff was sitting at the bottom of Clinton Lake. I didn't ask him how. I just knew that he would. And that's where we got to get to. And if it doesn't seem like it's coming right away, it doesn't happen instantaneously, he said, just stand there. Just keep waiting, because it's coming. Keep speaking the word. Keep speaking the truth. Verse 24 of that Mark 11, it says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask," do you have any asks going on in your life right now? He's saying here, whatever things you ask when you pray, whatever things you ask when you have a conversation with me, believe that you've received them. You need to talk to him like you've already got it. Believe that you've received them and you will have them. Don't care how. How many times have I said how here this morning? I don't care how. He said here, believe that you've received them and you'll have them. I don't care how. I'm not going to try to figure out how. He said that whatever things I ask, when I pray, believe that I've received them and I will have them. Too many times we try to overthink things. Too many times we want to know how. Too many times we need to feel or see something to convince us that it's coming. I don't need that. Bottom line is, get into the Word of God, find out what it says, believe it, receive it, act on it. What else you got to do? What else you got to do? Nothing. We do the inputting. God's the performer. He's the one that makes it happen. And I don't care how he makes it happen. He may use somebody in this room to meet a need that I have. Now, my need is about $50,000, so if anybody wants to step up and... Anyway. I'm still believing for a brand new quad cab, four-wheel drive, Ford pickup truck, dark blue. It's coming. I don't care how, don't care when, but it's coming. Still believing for $250,000 for this church to do the things that I want to get done around here. Don't care how, but I know it's coming. I spoke it out. I believe my God. $250,000 for God? Come on. If heaven's streets are made of bricks of gold, what's the price of gold right now? About $2,600 an ounce. How much do you think a brick weighs? It won't take too many bricks to make $250,000. Man, that should have excited somebody right there. God's got what you need. It's not much in the mindset, the kingdom of God. Might be something big to us here, but it doesn't take much for him to meet that need. But we don't care about the house. In Genesis chapter 12, starting with verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, 'Get out of your country, from where your family and from your father's house to a land that I'll show you.'" Pack up your bags, throw them in the back end of that beat up Chevrolet, although God's given you a brand new Chevrolet. You know, if he tells you to go, he's going to provide so that you're well taken care of. Throw them in the back of that Chevy, take off, point the car south, and just go. He's not giving you a destination. How many people are going to get in their car and just start driving? Our rational mind says, that's nuts. That's crazy. I'm not doing that. But he said, go. So if he says go, then where he's sending you is better than where you're at. Now don't go if he hasn't told you, because where you get to, that'd be a mess. But he's saying here, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, 'Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I'll show you. I will make you a great nation. You do what I tell you to do. Don't ask how. Don't ask why. Don't ask where. Don't ask when. Just go.'" He says here, "I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you." Boy, he's taking care of you on all sides. "And in you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And then over in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Now he's telling him to go. Just go. He didn't ask how. He didn't ask where. He didn't ask any of those questions. And then he told him that he was going to make him a father of many nations as well. This is Abraham. We need to take some examples from this. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. He says, "Who contrary to hope, in hope believes, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith." Oh, what did it say back there in Mark 11, 22? Have faith in God. Saying here, Abraham, he wasn't weak in faith. He believed God, knew that God would come through. "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead." He's 100 years old. God's saying, "You're going to have a kid. You got a wife who's 90 years old. She was barren to begin with. She couldn't have kids to begin with. And you guys are going to have a kid. A couple of old geezers." Sorry, Miss Dorothy. You're not old. You're young. Fight, fight, fight. He did not waver at the promise of God. If God said it, he believed it. That settled it. It says here, he didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised him, he was also able to perform. He didn't ask how that was going to happen. "God, you know, the old wife over here," not old wife, "my beautiful wife over here, she hadn't been able to have any kids, and you're saying that we're going to have a kid? How is this going to happen?" He didn't ask how. He believed God. And he had a kid. In Numbers 23:19. What I'm trying to get across here this morning is that if the Word of God says it, get it on the inside of you, believe what it says, speak what it says, act upon what it says, and then leave the rest up to God. Can we just be simple in the body of Christ for once? I know there's a lot of fun things, a lot of philosophical things, homiletical, hermeneutical, all these types of things that we want to go into, check out. And they're fun to explore. They're fun to talk about. But the bottom line is, when somebody's hurting, They don't need to know all that stuff. They just need to know that Jesus, here's what Jesus said. They don't need to know everything else. They don't need to know all that stuff. What do I need to do? And God will come through. He says, have faith in him. And whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. He said, you will have them. In Numbers 23:19, it says that God is not a man, so he doesn't lie. Anybody ever been lied to? I got lied to every day for 26 years. To the point when I still, today I have to fight this. When somebody I meet for the first time tells me something, my first thought is, you're lying to me. Until they prove otherwise. I'm still, God's made me much better in that area. I'm still not naive. I still believe that he shows me when somebody is trying to deceive me. But it says, God is not a man, so he doesn't lie. He's not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried through? No. I would say that the only time when you may have asked God for something and he didn't come through on it is because we messed up someplace. Our unbelief. It didn't happen. I guess it's just not going to happen. I'm believing God for healing from diabetes. Standing on the word. Doesn't happen right away. Well, I guess it runs in my family. You just shut the door. No. No, don't shut the door. So God is not a man. He doesn't lie. He's not human, so he doesn't change his mind. Has he spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried through? The spirit of faith will cause you to shout victory while the walls are still standing in front of you. Have faith in God. Now, when you have faith in God, doesn't necessarily mean that the walls are going to collapse right away, just like they did with Jericho when the children of Israel shouted. As soon as they shouted, then walls came flat. Does it always happen like that? No. But you know what? I'm going to still shout victory because he said, I've already won. The battle's already won. Things may look too big. Things may look impossible. You may not know how, where, or when, but you keep inputting the word. You keep standing on the word. You keep believing God and let him be the performer. Don't try to help him out. Unless he tells you to do something, don't try to help him out. Let him do the performing. And you'll come out on top every time. Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you, Father, for this word. Father, I believe that as I spoke this word, being led by your Spirit, there's many things that you gave me to speak that weren't in my notes. Being led by your Spirit, Father, that was meant for the people in this place here this morning. Father, I just... Oh, yeah. I'm not going to ask people to come forward with heads bowed still. I'm not going to ask people to come forward for this. But I am going to ask you to do one thing as a gesture, as a sign. If you're going through something in your life right now that's challenging, it's been challenging you now for maybe a little while. And you say, enough's enough. I'm going to believe God. Whatever his word says, I'm going to believe it. That's going to settle it. And I'm going to let God be God. I'm going to let God do what he does. I'm not going to interfere. I'm not going to ask how he's going to do it. But I'm going to stand, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to believe him, and I'm going to trust him. If that's you, if there's something that's going on in your life right now, just stand to your feet right where you're at. Just stand to your feet. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be worried about the person sitting next to you. Because chances are they're going through something and they're just scared to stand up. But if you're going through something right now, stand up right now. Lift your hands to heaven. Lift them up. This is an act of surrender. When you throw your hands up, it's an act of surrender. You're saying, God, I'm tired of trying to figure this out on my own. I'm tired of struggling along in this area of my life. You said that if I have faith in you, that I can speak to these things that I'm going through. And you said that those things, they have to shrivel up, they have to die, they can't stand anymore, they can't be in my way. I'm a conqueror, I overcome in every situation, I can't lose. I'm standing here and I'm declaring that to you right now. So in the name of Jesus, as this act of faith, of this standing in this room, each person that's standing and anybody who should have stand, you don't have to scream it out loud, but whatever the struggle is you're struggling with right now, say it out loud out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Finances. Finances. Hallelujah. Not that he doesn't know your heart, but he heard it come out of your mouth. And you can put your hands down if you want, but anytime that you're reminded of this, because Satan's not dumb. Of course, I call him dumb. But he knows what buttons to push. He knows when to throw that back in your face again. And he will throw it back in your face. But you remind him, on August 10th at 11:28 a.m., I stood to my feet and I declared that thing, that challenge in my life before God and everybody. And because I shouted that out, I declared that in front of God and everybody, and I asked him to cause that thing to dry up and to shrivel up. I believe that I have received and I will have, and I stand here this morning, devil, telling you that you can't win. I win every time because the greater one lives on the inside of me.